Well, thanks, team, thanks, Kathy. It's, you know, even from a distance, and even over a cell phone, we can still hear your heart. And thank you for leading us from there, and also, you know, from there, just helping our hearts to connect with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, this is a weird time. It's a weird time, and I find every single day I'm kind of torn between kind of two schools of inner thought. You know, one is that I just want to get back to whatever normal was. I just want to get back to normal. I just want to connect. I'm anxious at times. I'm frustrated at times. Anybody relate? You know, there's moments of that. Online, can you relate? Actually, if you're commenting along, let's just for fun here, and we could, we'll decide whether or not we actually have some to show here. But what is something from pre-COVID life that you miss? I got a long list. I got a really long list. One of which is planning. I remember back when you could write plans down on a calendar and actually assume that, well, yeah, hang on there. Well, there we go. I remember back in the day when you could actually write plans down on a calendar and have some reasonable confidence that they would happen. At least, you know, related to your own life. And so, you know, with a family with a daughter in high school and a daughter in college, and we're getting ready for a wedding, and like, and it seems like every single day the rules change, the situation changes. It's hard. So there's a battle between this frustration and desire to, you know, to get back to something that feels a little bit more stable. And there's this other desire. This is the better one. Is just desiring to be in the center of the will of God in my life. And I'm also going to come into this assuming that whether you're online right now and you're just watching there, or you're here in the room, and you're putting up with like the weirdest worship environment you have ever been in, right? That's why you're here. Because in the midst of all this mess and all these conflicted emotions and all of the balance between like anxiety and frustration and anger and feeling out of control and all of these things, it's like what I just want to hear from God. I want God in my life. I want to be led by God. Now, I don't know, do we have any pre-COVID comments that we can share? Anybody write anything up? Yes, no? 72. Well, no, I mean just like a pre-COVID life. Nope. Okay. We'll just take that one down. Then. But keep talking about that in the comments feed, and Gayla will be interacting with you there and just encourage one another there. But that's why today I wanted us to take a look at just some of what the Book of Acts teaches us about how we hear and are led by God. And this is the final week in our Acts series. We've been spending the last 8 weeks there just reading Acts for about 10 minutes a day and looking at how the Holy Spirit led the early church and empowered the early church, knowing that the very same Holy Spirit that led and empowered the early church is with us right now. I mean, in your homes, in the room, as you're wearing a mask, as you're socially distanced, or as you're sitting on a couch, or you're camping somewhere, or you're watching this midweek, the same Holy Spirit that led the early church is there with you. And so we want to hear from him. We want to be led by him. So if you are taking notes today, which maybe you are, I mean, some of you don't have pens in your hands, but if you're taking notes, this would be probably the fast summary of what we're going to talk about today. But four ways that the Holy Spirit leads us. Four ways. And we're going to be looking at that through the latter part of the Book of Acts, especially through Paul's missionary journeys. It's the Book of Acts. It kind of starts off with Pentecost and the disciples, the 12, as really key leaders in the church. But then it starts to transition into this time of talking about, you know, how the gospel goes out to the Gentiles, ultimately to for most of us, to our biological ancestors. That's how we heard the gospel, because people were so brave and bold as they would carry this message of Jesus from one culture and one country into another, into another, into another, into another, until the whole world had an opportunity to hear. And in our time today, I mean, even in our generation today, we could actually be the first generation, do you know that, to complete the mission, where the gospel could be given to every culture and every language on the planet. I mean, we live in an incredibly exciting time where we could be the first generation to see that actually fully completed. Anyways, I'm getting a little bit off. But so here's the first way. If you're taking notes, here's the first way that the Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us through God's word. And I'm going to add underneath that, just because it's helpful for us to know this, always. God, the Spirit of God speaks through the word of God. The Spirit of God authored and inspired the book. And the best thing is, this author keeps showing up to the book signings all the time. He wants to meet you in God's word. And we see this in the book of Acts, in passages like Acts 15:15. We looked at this a little bit last week as they're trying to make some big decisions about, you know, how the Gentiles are involved in the gospel. And they made some really bold decisions because they saw a pattern of God's character in God's word. So let's put that up on the screen. Acts 15:15. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is, what's that word?
Written.
Just as it is written. So the early church sought to know the heart of God by studying the word of God. And in this passage, Peter's getting ready to quote the book of Amos to remind them that all through the centuries, God had a heart for the Gentiles. And so now they were reminded that as an early church, they should too. And even though there's cultural differences, we've got to get past those cultural differences because of God's heart for all people. But the point is, they sought the heart of God in the word of God, as it is written. And so that's where I want to challenge you and encourage you today. Guys, online church, in-person church, this is a really hard time. And so you and me, we need to be grounded in God's word. One of the best things you can do, if you're like, I want to stay sane through this entire COVID season, here's how you do that. Here's one of the keys to doing that, is to get into God's word on a regular basis. Be reminded every single day of who's in charge. Because here's the thing, I'm going to do some preaching, and I hope you're okay with that. If you honestly think that the one who is ultimately in charge is our governor, you will live in fear. If you ultimately think that the one who is ultimately in charge is our president, you will constantly live in fear. Or maybe some of you believe that the one who's ultimately in charge is the Illuminati or some deep state thing. I promise you, you will always, always, always live in fear. But God's word consistently reminds us that the one who is ultimately in charge of history is God. And those who remember the truth no longer live in fear. Because see, every human leader, and while they can mess things up for us, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's a term limit. Now, sometimes that's a term limit based on the laws of the land, and I am so grateful for the laws of our land, aren't you? Sometimes that's because every human leader, no matter how good or how bad, one day their heart's going to stop beating. And whatever influence you or they or whoever had on earth, it's over. And at that moment, all that matters is what is eternal. So anchor your heart, my friends, in words that are eternal, words that are true, not just some of the time, but all of the time. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be on social media or read the news feed. Those things are exciting. They're important because it's important to know what's going on right now. That's good. But if all we remember is what's going on right now and not anchor our hearts in things that are timeless, I promise you, you will live in fear. So, church, seek God's will through God's word. You can meet him there always. It will not always be dramatic. Sometimes it will be a little dull. But he's there. The Spirit of God speaks through the word of God. So anchor your hearts in the word of God. And now, Because you've seen this. I mean, whether that is just with your friends online or Christian leaders, there you can tell when people start to give in further and further and further to fear. And the question I want you to ask in the back of your mind is, I wonder if they've started to get unhinged from the Word of God. Anchor your heart in timeless truth. It's right here. So whether it's in your paper Bibles or on your phones, and just here's this little tip. This is just nerd stuff. You go ahead and, if you predominantly read the Bible through paper, that's super cool because the paper will never, well, it doesn't crash and the batteries don't wear out. So that's nice. But, you know, it's also okay to access God's Word through a Bible app. I encourage you to put it at the top. Put it at on the top of your screen, or make it a one button push to get into the Word of God. If it's easier to get into Facebook than it is to get into the Bible, you're going to spend more time in Facebook than the Bible, and you're going to live in fear. So it's okay to check Facebook. So it's okay to check Instagram, but put it a couple layers down. So you have to go two or three button pushes to get there. This might be one of the most practical discipleship things I can share today. So that as you wake up in the morning. And many of us, if we're being honest, we get to our phones fairly quickly, maybe after coffee, but we get to those things pretty quickly. Make sure that as you open up your phone, it's the easiest thing you can do is to open up God's Word. Get God's Word in front of you. Or if that means to write it on, write a key verse on an index card and put it on your mirror or put it on your dashboard or, the home screen on your computer. Anywhere, but get God's Word into your heart. There's cement it there, anchor it there, because the first way and one of the most dependable ways that we seek God is through God's Word. Okay, first way. Here's the second way. As the Holy Spirit leads us through wise planning, through counsel, and prayer. Always. We see the early church, as they're making big decisions, we see them doing it together. You get a bunch of smart people in the room, you get a bunch of Christ followers in the room, and you seek God together. So we see that in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. So let's just read that. So now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manigan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So this is an example of an early church meeting. They're needing to make some big decisions about the next steps of outreach for the early church. And so they got together and they fasted and they prayed, and God spoke collectively. You need a posse of people in your life. It's one of the reasons why we encourage people to find a connection group, or in this season, probably it's going to be a house church. You're going to find a few Christians that you are regularly gathering with, that you're sharing life with, that you're talking to each other about what's going on in your life, you're praying with one another. God speaks through that. Find wise people and surround yourself with wise people who are looking to seek God together. Because here's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit speaks, And we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us. He's not the author of confusion. If he's prompting you to do something or follow in a particular way, and there's other Christ followers around you who are also seeking, his lead, they're going to hear something too. It may not be exactly the same way that you hear it, but there's going to be those general patterns and trends. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's one of the reasons why we need community in our life. And you can do that over Zoom if you need to. You can do that, and you can use all the virtual tools if you need to. But you need a posse. Seek him together. I'm also reminded in there of how fasting, you saw that in there? That prayer and fasting, they were seeking God that way. And, fasting may not be something that we always need to do, because, every now and again you need to eat, right? There's a reminder in there. One of the purposes of fasting is it means that as we're seeking God, we remove the distractions. So fasting is the removal of food for a season of time so you can seek God. Is that as you're seeking God, it can be really good, among other things, to remove the distractions. is you need some time offline, especially offline with other Christians. God speaks in those settings, and he speaks there dependably in those settings. It's one of the ways that God, you could say he always leads. As you're making big decisions, make them in community. As you need encouragement, find it in community. Okay, third thing. Here's the one, this is the sometimes one. This is the one that we kind of long for the most, I think, sometimes, but it bothers us the most as well, is that sometimes the Holy Spirit leads through very direct communication. Now, I think this is the one that we often, when we're seeking God, we're like, God, this is what I want. You just need to, like, tell me, like, really blunt, tell me what to do. We long for it, and we do see God doing that. Sometimes in some really dramatic ways. So let's look at one of those dramatic ways. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. Like, this one just boggles my mind and makes me wonder, like, what was it like? Man, I would just love to have seen what this was like. Anyways, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? From preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. In other words, God said no, or God said not yet. When they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of God would not allow them to. Sometimes God speaks in ways that where he says, no, but God, I really want to go. No, it's not time yet. The gospel would eventually get there, but this wasn't time yet. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had preached us, or had called us, rather, to preach the gospel to them. I mean, there are times where God just speaks very dramatically in a prayer, in a vision. And we kind of long for this, and it's good, and it's good to be open to that. God can do that. But here's the other thing that's important to remember with this. Like, I mean, I have been actively following Jesus for 33 years, roughly, in my life. You know, I came to Christ and became a Christian when I was about 13, 14 years old. And in that time, there's only about five times in my life have I had an encounter where I was like, okay, God is like really speaking loudly. I can hardly miss it. And I'm a little tempted to tell you one of those stories. But here's the thing is, see, if when we long for those stories, when sometimes, I mean, whether or not God moves in that way in your life is up to God. Entirely. It's up to God's timing. He will do it when he chooses to do it. All you can do, all I can do is be open to it. And so we got to be careful, because every now and again you'll run into Christian groups that kind of, they try to get the idea that if you do this and do this and do this and do this, well, then God's going to move in your life in that kind of a dramatic way. Well, I got to tell you, friends, see, God is not a vending machine. I mean, just because you want this flavor of soda pop, it doesn't mean that if you put four quarters or five quarters in the top of the machine, it's gonna come out tasting like Fresca. God gets to speak in your life however he wants to, and especially because he has already told us through these other three means: seeking God in his word, seeking God in counsel, and the one that we're going to talk about in a minute. Is those are the ways that we're called to always, always seek God, to always, always look for God's hand in our life, and then be open, because sometimes God will move. He can speak directly, amen? Amen? But he does not always choose to do so. So be open to that. And if God chooses to communicate to ways that are not as dramatic as you would like, that doesn't mean that he's not speaking to you. God can speak however and whenever God wants. Amen. So be open. Be open. But remember, God is not a vending machine. He does not operate at your whim or your command, or just because you took 15 minutes, you know, to get into a cabin and say, like, okay, God, you talk to me now. That doesn't mean that God wants to show up in that time, especially when he has been in these places all along. Don't exchange the dramatic for the faithful. That's good. Lean on faithfulness. And God can decide in God's own time how dramatic he wants to be in your life. But it is cool that he can do it, right? So here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. That, and this is the place in where God is always leading, but here's the part that bugs us, is that we can't always see it, is that the Holy Spirit leads through providence. And providence is a fancy church word, I guess, to say that God speaks through the circumstances of history. God is the author of history. There is nothing that happens in this world that does not first pass through God's hands. That doesn't mean he causes everything in the world, because a lot of the things in the world are caused by our own sin and our own brokenness. But there's nothing that happens in this world that God is unaware of. I mean, COVID did not catch him off guard. There's nothing that happens in this world that God is not aware of. And God has a way of orchestrating the circumstances in our life, the good ones that he authored, the bad ones that are the result of our own sinful flesh and the brokenness of the world around us. He has a way of using all of those things for good. Now, we see this in passages like Acts 23. This is a passage that launches us into the rest of the book of Acts after Acts 23 is really all about the journey that starts at this moment. So I'm gonna put up the first verse, and then I want you to guess about the second verse. Okay. So the first, but we'll read it, but I want you to guess first, because the following night, Acts 23:11, the Lord stood before Paul. So he had a direct encounter with Jesus. That's cool. And said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." So direct communication from Jesus. Paul, this is going to happen. Now, Rome at the time, this is the center of power for the Roman Empire. This is the most powerful place in the planet. And Paul is being told by Jesus himself, "You are going to get to speak there." Paul's never been to Rome. Rome is a really long way away. You're going to have a chance to testify about me in Rome. Now, if Jesus showed up to me like that and said, "You're going to testify about me in Washington, D.C., I'd be like, "Sign me up. I will be the guest speaker at a prayer breakfast any day. Feel free. You can send the limousine, and I will go, and we will have hors d'oeuvres, and I will get to talk to all these world leaders about Jesus, and that would be awesome." Doesn't that sound good? "Paul, you're going to testify about me in Rome." Yeah, that's great. Now, some of you have your Bibles open. You know about the verse after that. So, because see, I would assume that it'd be something good. You know, you're about to be told you're going to be a really influential person, Paul. Great things are going to happen through your ministry, Paul. Get ready. It's going to be good. So let's look at verse 12. "The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul." And from that moment on, through the end of Acts 28, we see this journey where Paul's journey to Rome was the result of people that were consistently trying to assassinate him. And his journey to Rome ended up essentially working up the court system. You know, you can almost think of it in American terms, like start with county, and then you go to state, and then eventually ends up at the Supreme Court. That was his journey into Rome. And he spent the rest of his life, basically, as a prisoner. Sitting around with all this time on his hands. Finding himself to do things he didn't really probably want to do or plan to do, like, oh gosh, he could only communicate to the rest of the church through letters. And that's, friends, where many of the books of the New Testament come from, because of Paul's unexpected journey to Rome. And God used this man to have an impact on our lives and on culture. Like, I mean, really, only Jesus himself has had more impact, arguably. But it didn't happen in the way that he expected. See, God leads us through providence. He leads us through orchestrating history, but that doesn't mean that in the moment it's always going to look good. And it doesn't mean that in the moment it's always going to be the way that we expected it to be. Let me just do a little bit of preaching again. Many of us have for years, we have prayed for revival in our land. We've prayed, God, turn the hearts of parents to their children. Turn the hearts of children to their parents. Help us to not care so much about status or wealth. Help us to remember that's what's really important. What do you think it could be like if God answered that prayer? What means could he possibly use to answer a prayer like that? Do you think it's going to be an all-expense-paid trip to Disneyland? That was the stuff that got us into the mess that we're in. This emphasis on wealth and on personal comfort. Now, could it be, just maybe, that even in the midst of some things that we really, really don't like, I hate COVID. My younger brother, Eric, many of you have met him. He's watching online. I saw him on the live stream and leaving comments. The great philosopher, Eric Thompson, he likes to say, this virus sucks. We have quoted the great philosopher, Eric Thompson, many times in our house during this season. But could it be that this time of things that we never thought we'd need to do and situations we'd rather not be in and stuff we wish we did not have to endure, could it be that God is doing something good through this? What would it take to get families to spend time together again? What would it take for us to stop being so distracted by all of the luxuries in our life that we would be forced to remember what's important? What would it take for that to happen?
So good.
I don't want to miss what God is doing through this. Now, that doesn't mean I like all of it. You don't need to like all of it. But let's not forget that God can use this. And God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. A passage that we've be written by Paul as he is wondering whether or not he'll ever get a chance to preach to the church in Rome. And nowhere in there is the promise that every moment on the journey is going to be easy, only that the end of the journey will be amazing. Do not trade the temporary for the eternal. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be informed, but don't just focus on the now. Anchor your hearts, anchor your hearts, anchor your hearts in things that last and matter. And so as we close, I want us to do something that's very internet dangerous. I'm seeing, good, we've still got a bunch of people online and you're watching. I'm going to ask us to do something as a church online and as a church in person. Is we're going to do something that you almost never see happen online. Is we're going to stop talking. And I want us to spend at least a minute together in corporate silence. And to be just simply listening to God. So I'd like you to be, as you're doing that, I'd like you to be thinking about what messages you've heard from God in God's Word. Like as you read God's Word, what passages jump out to you? That's often the Holy Spirit just bringing things to mind. What are the things that you are hearing from the people around you? The wise counsel of other Christians, of other Christ followers. What are you hearing in those settings? And maybe for somebody today, this will also be a moment where God just speaks to you dramatically. That could happen, whether that's in the room, whether that's online. I hope you'll tell somebody about it eventually. Sometimes it takes a while just to process what he has to say. So be open, because God might speak to you very personally and very dramatically. But also, be looking for how are you seeing God at work in history right now? How could you imagine God be working through the circumstances of your life and of our culture right now? To look for God's hand in providence. We don't always see it clearly. Not while we're in the middle of the race. We don't see from the perspective of the end of the race while we're still sweating and working hard and panting as we're trying to get up hill number 4. Or not knowing about hill number 5, 6, 7, and 8 before we get to the finish line. I don't know how long it is to the finish line on this one, guys. But to be watching for God's hand in providence. So what I'm just going to invite us to do is just to be still before God and just to listen. So let's, and then after a minute or so, maybe a minute and a half of just silence, I'm going to close us in the time of prayer and we'll start to transition into a time of communion. But let's get dangerous. Let's do something risky. Let's listen. God, we thank you that you speak. Help us to hear your voice through your word. Help us to hear your voice through the counsel and prayer time with others. Help us to hear your voice when it speaks loudly in prayer and also when it speaks so softly and so subtly. Lord, help us to look for your hand guiding our lives, both in the things that we welcome and enjoy, and especially, God, in the things that we don't. Thank you that you love us, and you love us enough to lead us. Even when the process of being led is enormously hard, you are a good shepherd, and we are unruly sheep. But you guide us to green pastures, and even through the darkest valleys, we fear no evil, because your rod, your staff, they comfort us. So strengthen your church today, that we can live as people of faith, not people of fear. that we can live as people of faithfulness and not just anxiety or reaction. And thank you for all these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.